ASAP, any score, any place. We'll pull up on your boat, gang, or don't bang.
Bro, who's making this shit? No, who did this?
Let's go! Come on!
I'm so tired from watching.
90-yard touchdown! 90-yard touchdown!
What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogelmeyer. And this episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at RockAuto.com. Before we get started, we are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and I also write for the LA Football Network covering the Chargers, and we as a team have been covering the Chargers for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly on Facebook during the season, and now this is our third season as the hosts of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, we're very excited to be here with you today. Thank you to everyone who's checking us out for the first time, and thank you to all of our loyal listeners for coming back for this one, because we have a big guest interview on today's show, because we have Fernando Ramirez, who reports on the Chargers for Sports Illustrated. He's going to come on the show today and give us some insight into what training camp has been like for them so far, all the differences with COVID-19, what Justin Herbert has looked like and what's impressed him with that, and talk about the secondary and Melvin Ingram and all of that stuff. So a ton of stuff we get into with Fernando Ramirez, and he was great again as he's a recurring guest and been on the show with us before. But we're going to be starting the show with some news, because we did get an update on linebacker Kenneth Murray from Anthony Lynn in a press conference on Wednesday, and we also got to hear Casey Hayward talking about the fact that this defense in the secondary specifically is looking for a big bounce back season. But let's go ahead and get into it. On Wednesday, Los Angeles Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn gave us an update on a star rookie, and we also heard Casey Hayward talking about this secondary having a bounce back year. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. One of the biggest news stories that's come out this week for the Chargers is that rookie linebacker Kenneth Murray, the Chargers' second first-round pick, had been sitting out of the team portion of practices, and we didn't get to hear anything about it other than he missed practice. We did not know if he was injured, but with rookies, obviously, at this time of year, with a very shortened training camp, it's so important for him to be on the field, and we are wondering what could possibly be happening with him. But Anthony Lynn had a press conference on Wednesday morning, and we got some good news about the rookie.
Definitely got some good news, Daniel. Thankfully, you know, he basically said that he's just dealing with some soreness. They're just erring on the side of caution and just holding him out so he can get right. They don't want to push him too far, which I think is the correct approach. So good news, nothing serious to worry about in regards to Kenneth Murray. Anthony Lynn also made comments about Melvin Ingram, again, just basically saying that it's going to be company business. He's still in team meetings. He's still being present. He's just not practicing at this time. One thing that Melvin Ingram's absence brings is opportunity for Uchenna Nwosu, and defensive coordinator Gus Bradley had some very good things to say about Uchenna. He said Uchenna is up to 250 pounds and is pretty much locked into defensive end, and he's getting a lot more reps in Melvin Ingram's stead. So this is valuable time and reps for Uchenna Nwosu, and it seems like he is making the most out of all of those opportunities. He's getting rave reviews from players and coaches alike, Daniel.
And that's big news, because he's a second-round pick from a couple of seasons ago going into his third year and going into a year where Melvin Ingram is in a contract season and could not be back with the team next year. And that position would fall to Nwosu to come and fill in and be able to provide pass rush on the opposite side of Joey Bosa. But another guy that spoke with the media on Wednesday was Casey Hayward, one of the Chargers' best members in their secondary, a secondary that has been loaded in the offseason and leading up to it. And you talked a lot about the Chargers' defenses and the differences between last year and this year. And it seems like, David, he's expecting a big bounce back year for this secondary.
He definitely is. He's speaking very, very highly about all of his secondary mates, and he is expecting a huge, huge year. And it's really clear when he said, hey, our whole secondary is pretty much returning. Myself, Mike, Derwin, Rayshon, Desmond, we have all played a lot of ball here. DJ played the last five games of the season, so to get one of the best safeties back in the league, our defense can only go up. I mean, he's absolutely correct, and everyone says that Derwin James is looking phenomenal this year. I think The only thing that gets in the way for Derwin James is health. Other than that, he is definitely one of the best safeties in the NFL. He also talked about one of the new additions to the Chargers defense in that secondary, and that was Chris Harris Jr. He said he brings a veteran savvy to him. He's really smart. He knows what's coming before the offense is coming out, which is a good thing. So when I'm on the outside and he's on the inside, he's telling me route combinations, what to expect. As long as he comes in as the Chris Harris Jr. we've seen, we have a chance to be very good, especially if everyone plays at a high level like we expect. I think there's no question about the talent that the Chargers have accumulated on the defensive side. It's just about if they can get these guys in the right positions to succeed and for them to be healthy and be able to stay on the football field. If they do that, Daniel, this secondary and this defense can be one of the very best in the NFL.
And he also said that he feels like this defense has a chance to be special, but for the most part, these guys have said it themselves. It's not good until they go out on the field and actually do it, and it starts with taking the ball away. The Chargers were one of the worst teams in the NFL as far as generating takeaways, and now with the added piece of Chris Harris Jr. in there and all of the growth that they're talking about with guys like Rayshon Jenkins and maybe even getting Nazir Adderley on the field, who is a noted ball hawk, I think all of those things are going to help, especially with having a more solid defensive line to hopefully cause some more pressure. And also Gus Bradley saying himself that the Chargers are going to get a little bit more aggressive defensively so they can cause more pressure and cause more turnovers, because if you're getting to the quarterback quick, this unit absolutely has a chance to be special. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to be getting into our interview with Sports Illustrated's Fernando Ramirez, getting into all things training camp, Hard Knocks, Justin Herbert, and more coming up right after this. But one of the things I can take away from you guys is the stress of trying to find a car part when something goes wrong with your car, and I will send you to rockauto.com. It's the only place I go for any kind of car parts, and anytime anything happens, of course, I'm frustrated, but at least I know I can go somewhere where they're going to have the price, they are going to have the part that I need, and I'm going to be getting the same price as a mechanic or anybody else who is even trying to wholesale it or anything. RockAuto.com has all of the best prices and has all the parts you'll ever need, from control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet. Whether it's for your classic daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. That's also the other thing. You don't have to drive around and try to find them at traditional chain storefronts. All the parts you will ever need in one place delivered right to you. And all you have to do is go to rockauto.com right now, and you'll see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then just make sure you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, guys, as we promised, we have a big guest for you today. We have one of the very few people that actually gets to go and watch these Chargers training camps and practices up close, and we're joined today by Chargers reporter for Sports Illustrated, Fernando Ramirez, a recurring guest on the show. We always love having him on the show. You can find him on Twitter or Instagram at The Real F Ramirez. If you want to get all of the latest Chargers news, make sure you go to Fernando, because he's been in there. He gets all the best quotes, all of those things, so make sure you guys give him a follow. But Fernando, thanks for coming on the show, man. We just appreciate you giving us the time.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, no, I'm excited. It's a beautiful night out here, so I'm excited to talk football with you guys, and whatever you guys need, you know, you can always count on me.
Yeah, it's a Fernando thing. I mean, all Fernandos. But let's start with the impacts of COVID-19. Obviously, that has changed so much already for the Chargers this offseason, but it also changes a lot for you guys covering the team and as well, and you've been covering the Chargers training camp for years now. So for you, what has the biggest difference at practices been this season?
Practice-wise, I guess I'd have to say there's no fans. So right. A lot of our reporting has had to change, because they let you, for the first about 20 minutes when they're stretching and doing little things, they do let, when warming up, they let you record, but after that, it's done. You're not allowed to live tweet. You're not allowed to do anything. That's like an NFL thing. Yeah. So that's gotten a little bit harder. The rules have kind of changed just a little bit, but I mean, I understand teams don't want to give anything away. The hardest thing for me has been interviews, because right. we can't go grab players after, we can't do any of that stuff anymore. We have to depend on Zoom, and obviously the Chargers have been very accommodating. Hey, who do you guys need? Oh, we need so-and-so. Okay, cool. We'll get them for you. Okay, cool. But it being Zoom now is very Zoom and phone calls has been very weird, to say the least. But we're trying to adapt. And I mean, the Chargers, like I said, have been great. They've been great with getting us players and stuff like that. And it takes a little bit of time, and it's going to take time to get adjusted to it. So I do believe that once we get more into it. And the other thing is that out here it's 90 to 100 degrees, and then we're wearing masks. So that gets a little tough. And then obviously when we saw the guys, like, I went up to Gilbert Manzano and I'm like, "What's up, bro? Like, stop yourself. Don't do the high five. Don't do the elbow. So you see all the guys again, and it's like, "Oh my God, like, you're back with your boys, and you can't say what's up or anything." So you can't high five and all that stuff. So, but other than that, I mean, I've just taken it as business as usual, and you kind of have to adapt. So, I mean, that's what we've been trying to do for these last few weeks.
Yeah, man, I totally understand that. I work in customer service, and it's really hard to resist the urge to shake someone's hand just because that's been common practice for so long.
Or punch somebody in the face. Yeah. I know how that goes.
Oh, yeah, man. The one player that everybody wants to hear about, obviously, is Justin Herbert. How has he looked so far in his first training camp, and what has impressed you the most?
So I'm going to plug and say, wait for my story on Friday. No, I'm just kidding. he's honestly I'm very impressed with his poise. He stands in the pocket. He's looking at his progressions. He's looking at the different players and at his different receivers, and he throws the pass. He's honestly been very I've been very surprised by him. Today, you guys heard what happened on Hard Knocks last night with the snap counts and everything. Today, I didn't get the sense of that, and I was really trying to listen into that. And I didn't get the sense that he was giving anything away with the loud. He was loud the whole time.
He was doing it all at one tone today.
yeah, exactly. So it was honestly pretty pretty interesting. He's doing really well. You can tell he's really learning also. And honestly, when they hired Pep Hamilton, and I remember I was covering the XFL, and Pep came in, and he had Cardale Jones playing well up until the last few games of the XFL. And I thought, you know what, Pep could definitely help a team who has a young quarterback. Like, he's smart. He was the head coach of the Washington DC team. I can't remember what they were called,
the defenders
or something like that. Yeah, there you go. And I thought, wow, like, I remember I was asking him questions after the game, and you could tell he was a little ticked off, but he was answering everything so well. And I thought, you know what, this guy could help. Charge ended up drafting Herbert. And I'm like, you know what, he could definitely help Herbert out. And then, boom, they hire Pep Hamilton. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, you can tell this guy knows. I've just seen the way Herbert comes off the field, and he goes straight to Pep, and Pep and him start talking and doing all that. So it's honestly going to be a very good marriage between the quarterback coach and the quarterback, just because you can tell that Justin is learning a lot, and he's picking it up well. I mean, the kid's very smart. I think he had a 4.1 GPA. He won the Heisman for an athlete, for academics. Grades and academia and stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, he's a smart kid, and I think he's going to pick it up really well. I'm very interested to see, as the preseason or as the training camp goes along, how much better he gets. But so far, I mean, he does look like the 6th overall pick.
Well, and that's the part we're robbed of, right? Because that's the best chance for him to actually get against another team is the preseason. And we're not going to get that this year. So we might have to wait the whole season before we actually see him on the field. So that's going to be tough. But even just in the little bit we've seen from Hard Knocks, he seems very inquisitive. He seems like he wants to change the things he's doing wrong. And I think you would take that any day over a guy who thinks he knows everything already. And I definitely haven't got that vibe from him. But as one of the only people that actually gets to go and watch these Chargers practices live, who are some of the guys so far that have stood out to you, knowing that there's only been a couple of days in pads?
KJ Hill has stood out to me. He obviously, Ohio State, he dropped in the draft because of speed, because of this, because of that. Obviously, he's done well. I like the way he plays. Rayshon Jenkins is really he just keeps on getting better and better. He's a guy that I think a lot of people need to look out for, because I really like the way he's been playing in practice. There's times where he goes up against Keenan, and you're like, oh wow, like, this guy does a little something different. Casey today was raving about Rayshon, saying that his speed, his size, and his length, like, you can't teach that, and his coverage skills are Casey was raving about his coverage skills. Joshua Kelly today had some really nice runs. He's been He's been playing pretty well. He's something else. I'm really excited to see, and I wish we had a preseason just because he is somebody that I really wanted to watch. Because like today, like he was doing well catching the ball out of the backfield and doing all that. But I just want to see more from him, and I wish we had preseason games to see. But he's another guy that I would point to that I would say, oh wow, he's very surprising off the top of my head. Joey Bosa has obviously looked good. Yeah,
he's
no,
got 135 Derwin, million reasons why he should
exactly.
Feel
yeah, no, and seeing Derwin back on the field is exciting just because he has been so loud since last Friday. Like he's honestly hilarious. Casey, it's funny. Last Friday or Monday, I can't remember which one it was. He was going up against Keenan. No, he was going. I can't remember who Casey was going up against. But he knocks the ball down. He kind of runs towards where the media is. And he looks at me and goes, bro, tell him not to throw that. You better tell him not to throw that. And I just start laughing. He's like, go over and tell him not to throw that. And I just start laughing. I'm like, that's funny. But the thing is that you want to see what you can separate. And you want to know, hey, is this real or is this not? So right now, I said, KJ Hill, I want to say more guys, but I just don't know just because it's only been 2 or 3 days.
So tough.
But KJ is one of the guys that I can already tell. He has speed. He has quickness. He's going to fight for that third spot 100%.
That's really good to hear, man. I mean, especially coming in as a seventh round pick, to say that he's flashing in practice, I think is definitely going to be good for him.
He dropped in the draft just because of, I think they said his separation. But, I mean, how can you really judge that when the guy had had the most yards in Ohio State history? So, and you know what receivers have come out of Ohio State? Like, come on. So
when Keenan Allen fell for the same reason.
There you go. Exactly. So, and I think he was predicted to be a fourth or third round pick and dropped to the seventh. And Keenan was supposed to be a first rounder and dropped to the third. So yeah, no, I mean, hopefully this is another, for Tom Telesco, I mean, hopefully this is another, hidden gem for him and, somebody that could, be that third down threat. Cause, last season, I mean, the Chargers just didn't have, a third receiving threat. I think from the game versus Pittsburgh, I think until the game against Denver in the second or at the end of the season, they didn't have another receiver not named Keenan Allen or Mike Williams make a catch. So, I mean, that you need something like that. And we're coming off the season where Tyrell Williams, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams had all made a strong contribution to the offensive side. And it's like, okay, you're missing Tyrell Williams. Well, now it's time to not replace him, but get somebody that can be a player for you and can make up all that ground.
No question about it. They definitely desperately need someone to provide some production in that wide receiver three spot. No question about it. They definitely desperately need someone to provide some production in that wide receiver three spot. But another big storyline coming out of camp so far is Melvin Ingram deciding to hold out, or hold in, if you will, but also showing up to practices and meetings. Do you think this is something that can be resolved before the start of the season?
Well, the thing is his contract is not guaranteed. So say that the season, I mean, they went 3 games in and they ended the season because of coronavirus, then he wouldn't get the rest of his money. So I understand where Melvin's coming in or is coming from, but at the same time, I think it's smart what he's doing just because he's still there. He's honestly been an extra coach for these guys, and he's kind of, in a way, he's kind of helped Chenna develop more just because Chenna's taking all of his reps right now in practice. So that's only going to help Chenna out when it comes to getting the reps and practice. That sometimes Melvin might take from him or other guys might take from him. So now it's time. And Chenna's a guy that Gus Bradley mentioned yesterday. Casey mentioned today. Like, everybody keeps on mentioning about Uchenna. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise for them. But when we talked to Anthony Lynn, he said he's here. Company business. That's what we've been getting. And I mean, I think that is typical of Anthony Lynn to say, I think he is going to go that route, like company business. We don't know. I honestly don't know what's going to happen just because you see some of those other free agents that these guys have. You have Keenan coming up. You have Mike Pouncey, Michael Davis. Like, you have a lot of guys coming up. And I mean, unfortunately, you can't keep them all. And I know that these guys want to keep Keenan because, I mean, Keenan's one of the most underrated and one of the most productive receivers in the NFL. So you have to keep him. Mike Pouncey, can he recover from the neck? is he going to be able to play well? You also have Desmond King, who, oh, and that's another guy who's been, who I've seen really shining a lot in practice, has been Desmond. Desmond's been playing well. There's a lot of question marks with the team. Like, it's funny because we're already jumping to next season and already talking about free agents for next season. Because you always, and that's what Tom Telesco says, I'm always looking to the future. But I think it's a blessing in disguise. And Melvin, Anthony's right. Melvin has been a coach. He has been out there. He has been helping guys out. He'll pull guys. And I'm telling you, he's not just pulling defensive ends, like, to help them out. He's pulling linebackers, corners. He's pulling some of these guys out and coaching them up and trying to help them out. So that's honestly been a positive for the team. I mean, it's not like Melvin Ingram's being a distraction, kind of like Melvin Gordon was. Well, not a distraction, but Melvin just wasn't there last year. Melvin Ingram at least is there, and he's trying to help other guys out, and that's honestly a positive. If we're really looking at it, that's a positive for him.
Absolutely. I mean, I understand where both sides are coming from. You have a lot of people to pay, obviously, if you're the Chargers, and for Melvin Ingram at his age wanting to get some longer term security, I get that as well. But for a holdout, absolutely the best possible scenario. But we have a few more questions we want to get into with Sports Illustrated's Fernando Ramirez coming up right after this. All right, guys, we are back here with Chargers reporter from Sports Illustrated, Fernando Ramirez, who has been out at all of these practices, as you know, HBO is running around in the background, but he's going to give us some great insight to what he has seen so far. And the first thing I want to start with here is we all know that the offense is going to change without Phillip Rivers this year, but just how much different has it looked so far with Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert under center?
It's funny because we talked to Joey yesterday. And Joey's like, it's a lot different because Phil, and no disrespect, obviously, but he would just stand in one place and stand back there and sling it. Tyrod is running around the field. Justin's running all over the field. These guys are trying new things, and it's just it is different. It is different in the sense of you don't hear Dak Domitz and all this other stuff. So I think Phillip would have been perfectly built for Hard Knocks, but obviously he's not here. He's with the Colts. And it's been different, but at the same time, like, you kind of ask the players and they're like, no, I mean, it hasn't dropped off. Like, it seems like leadership has been picked up because, I mean, we all know Phillip was a leader. It's been picked up by other guys. And I guess these guys have been saying that the leadership without Brandon Mebane and without Phillip Rivers is kind of picked up a little bit more around, which is what you need. You need good leadership when it comes to the team. And offensively, I mean, these guys, they're honestly ready to roll in the sense of they have weapons. Tyrod brings a new dimension with being able to move around, you guys saw that clip today where on Chargers Twitter, where he rolls out to the left, he pump fakes, and then he runs into the end zone and scores the touchdown. I mean, no offense to Phillip, but Phillip could never do that. So now, Tyrod adds a new dimension. Justin Herbert would add a new dimension. And that's what I was talking about with some of the guys today, especially Joe Reedy from AP. We were talking about Herbert and the Rose Bowl game. Like, his arm just wasn't working in that game. Yeah, he made a couple of passes and threw a pick, but he was like, oh my God, I need to find a different way to win. And how do you win with his legs? Like, that's the difference, I guess, between a quarterback like Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady than it is these new generational quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson, like Justin Herbert, that they'll find different ways. If their arm isn't working, they'll go to their legs and they'll try and do it that way or try different things. So I'm very interested to see after so many years of the Chargers staying consistent with we have a gunslinger at quarterback to now we're moving to the shifty quarterback who can make throws but can also is lethal with his legs. So it's honestly been a lot different, but it's interesting to watch, honestly. And I feel like you guys are going to really get a kick out of it when the Chargers play the Cincinnati Bengals week one because, I mean, I don't know. I was about to say on Sunday, but we don't know if that's going to be a Saturday game or a Sunday game just because of if college football happens. If it doesn't, right, the NFL is thinking about moving to Saturday. So it's all very interesting.
Yeah, I think we've all enjoyed the little bits and pieces we've seen of Justin Herbert on Hard Knocks. And we know you've been following along with the Chargers on HBO's Hard Knocks, and you can find Fernando's reviews of the episodes on SI.com. But what has been your favorite moments from the first 2 weeks?
I don't know. I think it's just all the goofiness that some of the media and some of the players have been doing on Zoom with the interviews. Like today, I joke around with Anthony Lynn, and we were talking about Bradwell, the running back from that he was talking about last night about his weight and everything. And I asked him, Coach, is that a concern for you? Like the weight, players just sitting around kind of eating or whatever, kind of eating because they're bored in a sense because they can't go anywhere. And then it got kind of cut off, and I don't know if he heard my whole question, but he goes, am I concerned? Yeah, he went up 20 pounds. And I was like, oh, well, I'm a big guy, so I'm not going to talk about somebody else's weight. He's like, oh, well, if you're a big guy, I don't want him hanging out with you. And I just started laughing. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, this is hilarious. And, like, Gilbert's Melvin Gordon thing, it's just been really funny just because you kind of see a more natural side to us and them. Obviously, it hasn't been featured on Hard Knocks or whatever. But I just think it's been, like, funny moments like that. Like, yesterday I asked Mike Williams, do you feel like you and Keenan are a top 10 receiving duo? He goes, for show. I ask him, top 5, for show. Top 3. And then he starts laughing, for show. Then I ask him, top 1? He's like, for show. And he just starts laughing. Like, little moments like that. Like, I wish HBO would show a little bit more of that just because it's actually a pretty funny interaction between us and some of the football players and some of the players. But I just think that's been the funnest part. And obviously having football back, I mean, honestly, it was good. And I'm a soccer fan, a European soccer fan. So I was excited. I had sports before. A lot of people had sports here just because I would watch the European soccer. But not having sports here was really a killer for a lot of people. So I'm glad that sports are back and football's back. And I hope that it continues. And honestly, that's what somebody was asking me the other day. Do you think football will happen the whole season? I'm like, if one sport can finish out the season, I think it'll be football. To be honest, and the way the Chargers have prepared for COVID, I've been very impressed with everything they've been doing, all the measures that they're taking, everything they've done. Honestly, they were proactive, and it's been they've done a really good job when it comes to dealing and being able to work around the coronavirus and everything. So I tip my hat off to them on that too.
Well, and I think the NFL kind of left it up to a lot of these teams, and for the Chargers to be one of the few teams that hasn't had any positive tests since they've been back to the team facilities, I definitely think they've been doing it the best. And with Hard Knocks, I think we know that all that stuff that should be on there probably gets cut out because of the Rams. So we'll just blame the Rams for that one.
Nobody opted out. So that just means that the players trust the Chargers and the organization. And I'm not saying that all the other guys that opted out don't trust their organization. People have to do what they have to do. But it just tells me that the players trust them. And some of the guys that we've been talking to, a couple of weeks ago, Austin Eckler was on TMZ and he came out and said he doesn't know how this is going to work. Austin told us later that talking to Anthony Lynn and talking to Tom Telesco, he was like, wow, okay, yeah, no, I want to do this. I want to because everybody has question marks. But it seemed like most of the players that we talked to, they believe in what Anthony Lynn is doing and they believe in what Tom Telesco is doing, not just on the football side, but with the COVID side. So that's honestly very positive to see out of the Chargers that they were proactive when it comes to coronavirus.
Well, and I think it goes back to what Anthony once said, just whoever handles this the best is going to have the best chance of winning. And I think that's so true. But another theme to training camp that I've seen in all the quotes I've gotten from you on Twitter and seeing some of the press conferences is just that Linval Joseph is an absolute monster of a human. So how important do you think it is for this defense to have a guy like that and that stature in the middle?
Well, you know what's funny is that Joey said yesterday that it's funny because Casey said it today too. He's like, he's a beast. So I've gotten monster and I've gotten beast. So I'm honestly excited to ask more defensive players about Linval or have somebody else ask him because I want to see how many adjectives we can get when it comes to
something like that.
to him. Yeah, exactly. So honestly, it helps not only the defensive ends, but it helps Justin Jones also. And Justin Jones is a guy that we've seen. He was on that. Yeah, NC State. So he was there with Bradley Chubb, and you're like, could he really be it? But he's honestly played well his first few seasons with the Chargers, and I think he's going to benefit from some – like, you go from Brandon Mebane and learning from Brandon Mebane to now going and learning from Linval Joseph. It's only going to help him, to be honest. And I'm very excited to see how Justin Jones progresses. He has been doing a lot of work, putting in the work during the off season. He said that he really didn't do anything except for work out in the off season. And that's what I get the sense of from all these guys, is that all they did was work out and get ready for the season. And honestly, I'm very excited to see how they do it. But yeah, Linval is huge. You see some of the coaches kind of back up when he comes up to hit the, some of the gear, some of the pads and all that stuff, and they kind of back up like, oh, here he comes. So, but yeah, no. And it's funny because the way when you hear Joey talk about him, he's like, the dude has long arms. He has a huge frame. He does this. He does that. Like, it really opens your eyes to, oh, wow, yeah, Linval could be a serious addition. Because, I mean, yeah, we talked about the Brian Bulaga, Trey Turner, Chris Harris Jr., but I think Linval hasn't gotten as much credit as he deserves. I mean, the guy, he could honestly help this defensive line get what they haven't had, and that's a push up the middle. And you need a constant push up the middle. So I think if Linval can be what the Chargers are expecting him to be, he could help Justin Jones improve, because Justin Jones has been very good against the he's been very good against the run. So that could help the Chargers out. And Linval's more he's very good against pass rushing and everything. So Joey was saying, if Linval can give us the push that he was giving the Vikings, then I think Melvin and I will have a party in the backfield sacking these quarterbacks. So honestly, they're going to be very dependent on him for a lot of the stuff getting started right up the middle with him and Justin Jones.
Yeah, I think the Chargers haven't had a presence in the middle since they had a guy like Jamal Williams that was eating up double teams and just absolutely just swallowing people up.
You know what's funny about that is my brother's a huge Chargers fan, and I was asking him the other day, I'm like, if you could have one player from like the last 10, 15 years, who would you get? And I thought he was going to go maybe like LT or this. Or that. He goes Jamal Williams, and I'm like, oh, wow. He's like, if Jamal Williams was in the middle, he would just swallow half of these guys up, and Melvin and Joey would be in on the quarterback all day long. And I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And he's like, yeah, no, Jamal Williams is who I'd want. Like, can you imagine him? And I just started laughing. I'm like, yeah, no, that's a great pick. Just because, I mean, Jamal Williams was always that underrated guy for the Chargers in those great Charger defenses of the 2000s, to be honest.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. If Linval Joseph can kind of bring some of that presence, then the Chargers are going to have a lot more sacks this year. This Chargers secondary has been compared to some of the greatest we've ever seen. What does this new and improved secondary look like so far, and how hard has they made life for the Chargers offense?
To be honest, they look, I mean, sometimes I can't stop staring at Derwin James just when he's moving around the field. Like, he knows exactly where everything's going, where everything's going to be. Seeing him and Hunter go at it is just so much fun to watch, just because I just remember 2018 when he goes up against Travis Kelce. It was third down, and Travis Kelce makes a catch, and Derwin just comes up, and he was a rookie. He made a big boy tackle on him and didn't let him get any yards.
Yeah, he did.
I think he made him lose a couple. And I'm like, wow, like, this guy is just amazing. So I think this team is going to go, and honestly, and it's no slight to anybody else, I think they're going to go as Derwin goes. If Derwin's having a great year, this defense is going to have a great year. He is just something else. But honestly, Casey's been one of the most underrated corners of the last few years. I mean, there's a lot of Charger players that feel like they're underrated, and Casey Hayward is one of them. He has honestly done a really good job, I feel like, in the last few years when it comes to coverage. Chris Harris Jr. Adds that like pit bull mentality now to this defense that I think they were kind of missing that. Like, he brings like something different that like if he makes a good tackle, he's going to get up and let you know about it. So it's one of those things. And that's why I loved watching Chris Harris Jr. and Keenan Allen go at it, because Chris Harris Jr. would like, they would just chat back and forth. And I'm like, oh my God. Then there were times where Phillip would start chatting it up with Chris Harris. Like, they start barking at each other. I'm like, oh, my God. So now they kind of have that pit bull here with them. And one of the things that I was talking about with somebody yesterday was Chris Harris Jr. is not one of those guys that'll, like, he's not going to get 10 interceptions in a season. What he does not come on the stat sheet. He pops the ball up a lot. There's times where I remember he would go up against Larry Fitzgerald or one of those guys. He'd pop the ball up, and one of the other Denver corners, linebackers, would come up and make the interception. So assisted interceptions is a stat that I want to see. I think Chris Harris Jr. would have it. But yeah, no, he pops the ball up, and I feel like he's going to help out. Michael Davis, I'm interested to see what kind of strides he takes this season. Faison has had a good camp also. I've seen him make a couple of plays in camp. So I think these guys are just stacked at every position on the defense. And honestly, I'm very excited to see how their defense is going to match up. And we don't have to wait that long because they play KC week two. So it's honestly going to be a very interesting matchup to see the way the Chargers line up against Patrick Mahomes. Because to be honest, and you guys can look up the stats, and I'm pretty sure I'm not wrong, Patrick Mahomes did not throw for over 200 yards against the Chargers in either game. So, and that's a very underrated, stat that really jumps out at me. And it tells me that Gus Bradley, obviously you can't figure out a guy like Patrick Mahomes, but it tells you that the Chargers know how to play against them. And it's honestly fun to watch Patrick in those games against defenses like that, like the Super Bowl when he had a deal against Nick Bosa and have to go up against that front. And then when he plays against the Chargers, like when he goes up against those fronts, like it's crazy. And that's what we saw last year from Aaron Rodgers when he played the Chargers here in Carson. The Chargers had him, they were knocking him around all game long, and they beat, like, it was an impressive win. And then in the playoffs, they play against the San Francisco 49ers, and the same thing happened. So it's honestly, I'm very interested to see how this defense does, but my bad, going back to your question, I think the secondary could be very good this year, and they were ranked fifth last year, and they added Chris Harris Jr., and they get Derwin James back. So, I mean, you tell me. I think this secondary is going to take the next step. I do believe that this secondary is going to take the next step this season if these guys stay healthy, which I think they will do, and I think the injury bug might leave the Chargers for a year.
That was just me knocking on wood.
Yeah, I
just
heard the knocking on wood. Yeah, I heard that.
I had to do it. The reflex kicked in.
Yeah, I know. And
well, I think it just goes to how important Derwin James is. And first, just let me say that Derwin James getting downfield on running backs or tight ends in the flat should be like a Discovery Channel thing in slow motion. I mean, it's honestly crazy the way, how fast he gets downhill, how efficient he is when he gets there putting people down. I mean, it is a sight to see. But to their credit, they've all been pretty humble and basically just said, you know, that's all on paper. Could we do it? Yes, but we still have to go out there and do it. So they know there's still a lot of work to be done, and takeaways, I think, is where they all start with it. But absolutely perfect insight from Fernando Ramirez. We're going to have him on again, hopefully, during training camp so we can keep getting these little tidbits from practice and stuff, because it's definitely invaluable. So again, if you guys want to follow Fernando Ramirez on Twitter or Instagram, the handle is RealFRamirez. He has all of the latest Chargers, everything. And you can also find him on SI.com covering the Chargers for Sports Illustrated as well. But Fernando, thank you again for your time, man. You really brought it, and we really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. And hopefully Tatis Jr. can lead the Fernando effect, as you guys were calling it.
Let's go.
Hopefully I can have a good season of coverage, and Fernando Tatis can win that MVP this season. Both MVPs. There you go. That's the Fernando effect, honestly.
Swing on 3-0 pitches. All right.
There you go.
All right, well, another special thank you to our friend Fernando Ramirez. Definitely hoping to have him on at least a couple more times during training camp so we can get an insight into who's going off and what things are looking like so far with the team. So another special thank you to him, but that is going to do it for today's show. Tomorrow we are going to be getting into even more training camp updates and some notes coming out of training camp to see how all of these guys progressing. Maybe get into some voicemails as well. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers. And if you guys want to get on the voicemail show, the number is 323-524-7924. And we try to get every Chargers voicemail on the show. The easiest way to get the show is by subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. But we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bulls.